straight out of Compton. Crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. From the gang called Niggas with Attitudes. When I'm called off, I got a sawed off. Squeeze the trigger and bodies are hauled off. As I leave, believe I'm stomping. But when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of Compton.
Fuck the police. Fuck the police. Yo, fuck them. What it is, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, for the last year, he's been right here next to me, my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDuff! Woo!
Connor, dude, we hit it. We're so fucking... many. This is our year anniversary of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. How do you feel?
One... whole fucking year. I'm feeling on top of the world today. I tell you what, 52 episodes of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. This time last year, we were watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That is insane to me. Oh my goodness, it's been a long, long time. Holy shit.
Yeah, that feels like forever ago. Fucking hell. I feel like this has just been my life. And for it to only have been a year, but then it also doesn't feel like we've been doing it as long as a year. It's weird.
No, it doesn't feel like a year at all. At the same time, it feels like a lot longer. It's so strange how it works. It just becomes like kind of motor memory. Like you just, we do it every week. And once every 3 months, one of us is irritated at life. And pretty much how it goes.
And we take it out on the movies.
We take it out on the movies, yeah.
But I was, I've gone back over the last week because we're going to talk about some of our favorite episodes and stuff before we kick on to a review of Straight Outta Compton later on. But scrolling down our iTunes fucking feed, it's just, wow. Yeah, we watched that many fucking movies. Holy shit.
We did.
And we spoke about every single one of them. It's crazy, the list just keeps going. There's a shitload there. If you've been there, listener, you'll know the fucking extent of the amount of movies we've seen this year. And that's only the ones we've talked about. Then there's all the extra ones that we watch on our own.
We've seen a lot of films.
How do we have time to do anything in our life other than watch movies? Really, like what is?
Not gonna lie, still don't know. still don't know. I at the moment. I hear people when I need to plan something or organize something, and people are like, nah, man, I've got no time, I'm so busy. And I'm like, no, you're not. You don't know busy. You don't fucking know busy until you do this every week without fail. Shut the fuck up, okay? Fucking hell, this stuff, it takes a lot. It takes a fucking lot. We've done so many. Oh, my God.
And I think it's great that we've been able to keep it to every week we have an episode. I love that every week without fail we've had something up. Even when we've been away, we've put in the extra effort to fucking get it out there. And from what I'm hearing, the listeners are fucking appreciating and loving it. Like we're definitely getting more and more listeners every week.
Every day, and it's great.
People are putting us out there, and I can't stress how much I appreciate all the support from everybody.
Me also. I appreciate it when you guys support us. It's it's good. Thank you. It's actually amazing, especially those who we name drop all the time. But like, oh, fucking hell. It's amazing that you guys put up with our voices every single week and you sit there and you listen and you pay attention to what we say.
To our stupid opinions.
Our dumb fucking opinions. Good God, that's insane. A whole year of it too.
Well, speaking of opinions, I think we should drop some opinions on maybe some of our, our favorite episodes, ones that have stood out for us. Is there anything what's been the standout ep of the last 52 that we've done? What sticks out to you?
I mean, like the two ones, I know other people would feel the same, but Mockingjay was probably the most fun I've had doing an episode. We had such a great time, you and I, making that. Like, that was such a big event. We planned it. Oh, that was like 15, I think, number 15.
I think it was 10. It was
10?
It might have been 11.
It was like a bigger number. Yeah, it was 11. That's what it was.
Because we wanted it to be 10, but fucking 10, Let's Be Cops was before it, yeah.
We fucked up. But no,
we did the midnight screening. We went to the midnight screening, came straight back.
Got
the vodka out.
Fuck.
Fucking, we finished up on daylight. It was excellent.
It's without a doubt probably the funniest thing we've done, I think, is Mockingjay. Yeah. But next to that, I reckon the other one that stands out, probably not the most enjoyable, but definitely one that, like, probably the most memorable would be the Boxing Day one.
Mm, yeah.
That was my hell. Oh, my fuck. Nothing has scarred me more than the fucking Boxing Day fucking podcast. That was fucked. Holy shit. That was 4 hours of us sitting in a room talking about four movies that we had to see within a week. Oh, I was so fucked, man. I fucking hated that shit so much. Fucking hated that.
But you know
what
the funny thing is? I have gone back and listens to bits and pieces of that episode, and we didn't fucking skip anything, and I think that's why it was so hell on us. Like, we went and we watched the four films in the limited time that we had working at a cinema over a fucking busy Christmas period, and fucking still put in the time to actually break down each of the films. And
every single one, yeah.
Yeah, and that episode in itself has had some of the most plays that we've had from all of them. Wow. And people have told me that they've enjoyed that one as well. So again, thank you for that support and appreciating, especially the bigger episodes like that when we put in that little bit of extra effort. But yeah, those are like definitely the Mockingjay one stands out to me. Like, that was just like super fun. And I think that came across in the episode. Like, we still broke that shit down, but we just fucking got drunk doing it.
Pretty much. Pretty much it.
And on that, like, I also really enjoyed the Terminator one that we did. For me, for me, that was like a good one to go back to because I had so much built up in me to talk about that film. And
so much rage.
It was rage and just like, I just needed to talk about it. I needed to get it out. It was like, it was almost like, you know, going to a psychiatrist. it was a therapy session for me to be able to bring out all the feelings I have about Terminator Genesis. And I'm glad that we made the decision to go back and do that film. Cause if you remember, we missed that. I was away while that movie came out. So, and you know, obviously we were in the same room for the first time in nearly 6 months, which was a really cool thing.
It was great. That was a great trip. That Melbourne trip.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them all stand out. I was going through the list before and I was trying to, you know, I was remembering all the instances for every single episode, like how we did it, like even things like, you know, when we did, Taken 3 and Dumb and Dumber 2, like we went and saw both those movies
in the same night,
in that night, then went straight back to my house and did both those podcasts because I think I was going to Japan or something. I was away.
You're going to Japan. Yeah. You're going to Japan.
And, so we had to do them ahead of time and it turned out that two big movies were released on the same Thursday. So we were able to do
fucking hell.
But you know, as much of a slog as that was, we actually had a lot of fun doing that. And I think because we really, especially Dumb and Dumber 2, we both quite enjoyed that film and had a bit of fun with it. So that was a cool little thing. And I also really liked like our kind of novelty episodes where we went and did like the Nicholas Sparks movies, like Longest Ride and Best of Me.
Oh, fuck that.
Fuck that.
God,
but like,
damn it.
It was just like we were both in this like we don't want to watch this film. And I think that became something fun. So when we were doing it, we had no like reservations about tearing into stuff, but then also able to see, you know, some good things because we were reviewing something that we wouldn't normally see.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I found that quite like at least a good little experiment. Fifty
mean,
Shades
like,
of Grey on that note was also a fun one because you got so fucking angry.
Fucking hate 50 Shades. I mean, like, look, the bottom line is I say that I hate this and I hate that and I fucking hated this. But it's about, the bottom line is we're here to make good content. And my ill temper that I bring to podcasts a lot is great. And I like that because it gets us, like, I would hate to only review movies I like. Like, I would hate it. There's no point.
And it goes both ways. Like normally, yeah. You know, we've started to, like we were saying, we almost take on this person. And I think it's just more like we started this podcast because you're a glass half empty sort of person, and I'm a glass,
and
half,
you're
full.
A glass half full.
That's why we said this is a good thing, because we both need to clash with each other on certain things, yeah. And we do all the fucking time. And that's
all
legit. Like, just so you know, like we are actually arguing most of the time.
Oh my god, I fucking realized the other day you do this fucking thing, and it fucking kills me on the inside. And I realized when we were talking about what movie was it? What movie did I hate recently? What just came
Southpaw?
Out? Not The Gift.
Southpaw.
What was before the Southpaw? You do this fucking thing to me. And I know you fucking do it. I know you fucking do it. And it fucking gets me. Like, I just am so filled with rage that I fall for it every time. Where even if I've explained something, you just go, why? And I just fucking lunge every time. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. You're just like, why? And I'll just be like, every fucking time. Every single time you do it. And then you go, no, you're wrong. And then I'm like, fuck! Like, every single time you fucking do this, oh my god, you did it for Jurassic World. Oh, fuck you. Fuck you so much.
No, fuck, well, sometimes so there are points where you do just go in and say that you hate something, and then I'm like, well, you need to tell me why you hate it, because I'm not understanding it, especially with movies like Jurassic World and Southpaw, where we were both on the opposite ends of the spectrum. but that was like 50 Shades of Grey. Like, I didn't particularly love it, but I didn't hate it as much as you did, and that was fun. Like, that was just so funny. And I think we had Mel on that episode.
Mel was traumatized by that point, like, from that point about me. Like, I'm pretty sure she's like, I've never seen my friend so mad. What have I done?
But saying that, like, there are times where you've liked things and I've come back and ragged on it. So I think it's good that we can take it both ways.
What have I liked that you didn't?
You really liked Tusk, and I didn't like that.
I did like Tusk.
That was
in hindsight, I do not enjoy Tusk very much.
I also really liked when we did the Mad Max saga. Like, that was really cool. We went back and did a retrospective while seeing
recent. I'm going to reveal something. I'm going to reveal something I've never told you before.
What?
Fish, you're going to be mad at me a little bit, but it's so, you know, when we were doing the Mad Max reviews, right?
Yeah.
So every week we'd watch one Mad Max film and then we'd watch another film and we were with Tracy B.
Yeah.
And we'd what?
What are you fucking about to tell me?
and then so it was around like really busy uni time, and I remember I watched Mad Max, I watched Road Warrior, and I watched them. I would literally watch them last minute. Like, I remember I watched them, I would watch them at like 10 or midnight. I'd be up till like 3 for the next day to do the podcast. Like, I'd always leave last minute.
Yep.
So when it came to Thunderdome, I had forgotten that I didn't watch the movie. We were doing the podcast in 50 minutes. And so I played the movie at 1.8 speed. And I watched the whole thing.
And that's how we get a legit review from Connor McDuff. Fucking, there's the dedication. God, fuck it, hell. Maybe that's why you hated it so much. You're like, it's just too fast. I can't take it in.
For so long because I didn't want you to be mad at me. And so I never told you because I was like going to drop it in the review at the very end. I watched it at 1.8 speed. But I didn't want to break your heart.
Oh my God. Break my heart, you sack of shit.
That was a low point in my life. Like, I did that, and I just... Oh, God. I've never done it before. Don't worry. I've never done it to anything. Just beyond Thunderdome. Fuck that movie. I did it. I fucking did it. The timing was so impeccable. I fucking... I, like, finished the movie, and you were like, dude, are you ready? and then you got on with me and you're like, what the fuck? Why were you late? Like, why were you late? What happened? And I was like...
That's right. Yeah, you were like, fucking late for that I one, you like, piece
dude,
of
I
shit.
I was sorry, man, you shit. I'll explain later. Oh...
All right, well, at least you watched the film. Fucking hell. I would have hated you even more if you did a YouTube fucking 10-minute, you know, Thunderdome in 10 minutes or something like that.
No,
and then tried
to
do a full fucking review.
I would never
not
watch the movie.
I would have fucking slapped you
right
in the face.
That would be ridiculous. I sat there and thought, I'm either going to get a little bit in trouble or I'm going to get a lot in trouble. So I chose the first one and I got a little bit in trouble. And instead of being an hour and a half late, I was like 20 minutes late. You know? So I felt like I did the right thing.
Yeah. As far as Connor McDuff is concerned. Well, listen, I want to get on to, because we had a few messages from some of our regular listeners. I put out the question, like, what were your favorite episodes of the last, mm-hmm. you know, 52 episodes? And some of them got back to me. So I want to reference some of them right now, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, man, you do.
Well, we were just talking about Melanie. She's one of our biggest fan. Has been with
long
us since
time,
the since the start. Has been on an episode, like we just said, the 50 Shades of Grey episode. She said she really liked the Mockingjay episode, which is not
uncommon.
Surprise most mm-hmm. people. Any time that somebody sort of talks to me who's listened to a few of our things, Mockingjay always comes up, and it's like, you drink? They always are.
Really?
Yeah. Now, well.
Well, to you, not me.
Yeah.
God, they wouldn't.
You're a fucking alcoholic.
I'm not an alcoholic. Yeah. I did get really, I got really drunk last night, though.
But she also liked the Mad Max retrospective.
Oh.
Which I can appreciate. What I really liked about that was that we made a kind of event out of it. Like it was. You know, we hadn't really done events other than probably Mockingjay since then. Like we had a few, like we'll put out the vote for our listeners to vote on which film they would rather listen to us talk about, for the week. But this one was like, you know, it was a big thing. We had to do it. It was a lead up to the big blockbuster and probably one of the best movies of the year. So, yeah, I found that really exciting.
Yeah, that was a good moment. It was a lot of work too, but it was good. It was good fun. I enjoyed that one thoroughly. Yep. That was, I'm a fan of that.
Indeed. Mm. And I also got a message from my brother, Boy, or Adam, as some people call him, but he's Boy. he gave me a big message actually. It was he really enjoyed our Southpaw episode, The Hobbit. So the Boxing Day review, Jurassic World. Enjoyed that one, and he really liked the Focus episode.
Man, I fucking love Focus.
I liked the movie. I can't remember much about the
me neither.
Our episode on that one. That must have been like one where we were both really busy. But and he really liked Fury as well. That was a good one because that came out. I remember when that came out, we were both really looking forward to it, and you didn't like it as much as you were expecting.
I was really
disappointed. I kind of liked it a little bit more than I expected. Yeah. And of course, the Turtles. You know, our very first one. Really enjoyed that. Actually, that one also stands out to me because that was
Turtles.
Our first one. We were, excited, and you know, I really loved the movie, so it was really fun. But he said his probably his favorite was our Southpaw one though, because we were both very very differently opinionated on that one, and it came across as a good conversation. He was heaps indulged when Connor was speaking shit and was getting mad at you.
Jesus.
So there's that.
There we go.
And then we got our boy Reese, who's listened to every single one of our episodes. Reese was one of our co-workers at the cinema in Gold Coast.
He still is a darling.
He still is. He
Such
really
a
is.
Darling,
he had a brief. He had a brief cameo in our Foxcatcher episode.
Yeah. Kind of just popped up.
He hadn't seen the film from memory, but he was there and waiting for us to finish so we could watch some fucking movies or something.
We're watching an interview.
We're going to watch the interview. And that was fun. Yeah. And he said his favorites were Gone Girl, Interstellar, and The Gift because he liked how he liked how we talked about the topic and how it makes everyone feel and fan theories and things like that before getting into the tech, in his words, getting into the technical movie mumbo jumbo that you blokes talk about.
Which one was this for?
So that's, that was for Gone Girl, Interstellar, and The Gift.
Oh, all three of them.
He also really enjoyed American Sniper.
Oh.
And his favorite fun one was Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber, hey?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So that's cool. And that's like, because when I was writing down my list and I wrote down Dumb and Dumber, I was like, I don't know if anybody really enjoyed that episode. Yeah. But then when Reese told me, I was like, that's great.
Well, Reese did, so
yeah.
That's all that matters.
And then just the last one, so we can move on. Our main man, Matt, who is from Townsville, one of my good mates back in Townsville. He's listened to just about every single episode from the start as well.
Wow.
And has been supporting us from day one, which we really appreciate that, man. Like, we love you. You love y'all. But his favorite was Mockingjay because you guys were drunk and it was funny.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we were very drunk. And then the Mad Max retrospective, because it was different. And it made him go back and watch them as well.
Awesome.
So that... And that's something that I like, you know, every now and then I listen to some other podcasts, like retrospective podcasts, and it makes me go back and watch other films. So I'm glad that's like helping, like that's pushing some of our listeners to go out and experience some of these films, especially if they haven't yet. Because there's a lot of good movies out there. And we talk about a lot of them.
We talk an awful amount.
And then Jurassic World, purely because it was Jurassic World. And then he also goes on to say, P.S., RoboCop rules.
Fuck off. Does not rule. It's the worst.
Well, Connor, what about, like, just in terms of films, not in our episodes, what about the last year, what have been, like, the standout movies for you? What's
standout
been your favorite?
Movies? Interstellar, for sure. That was, like, that's, like, one of my...
Yeah, you got that one a 5. That was a 5.
Man, that movie made me feel shit. I've never felt in the cinema before. That was just an absolutely near perfect film. Well, it was perfect when I saw it. In hindsight, it's got a couple of problems, but you know, I'm not going off hindsight. I'm going off, to be honest, that film really stuck with me. Still, that was Gone Girl was another one that I was just like, whoa.
Gone Girl was a big standout.
Has to be
for me.
Some of the just it was just so mind blowing to watch in cinemas. I think that was my first Fincher film as well. I don't think I've ever seen a David Fincher film before that.
Yeah, right.
I'm just having a look, actually, at what we've reviewed as to what I've enjoyed. But Interstellar and Gone Girl are probably the two biggest ones. Interstellar was just so big for me. Like, it was such an important thing. Like, Christopher Nolan, I've always been a big fan of. I didn't see the trailers for Interstellar. I think I accidentally saw one, which was like a teaser. I never saw the trailers for Interstellar. I barely knew what was going on. Like, we saw it. We saw it at like 9:30. It was like a journey just getting to see Interstellar. We drove at 9:30 at night to see a 3-hour movie in the like near flooding. Like we couldn't see out of my car. Yeah. It was fucking crazy. Yeah. You know, Mel was there as well. It was such a big event, and that was such a big thing. So Interstellar and Inside Out is definitely the other one as well. Inside Out was just
Inside Out. Inside Out's kind of come and gone though, which I'm really sad about because it is such a good movie.
Such a great film.
And I really hope that it becomes the classic that it deserves because it is easily one of the best animations I've seen long time. If not movies in a long time.
Yeah.
We both get that very favorable reviews. A big standout for me was Jurassic World.
Yeah.
That was a big, big thing. But that goes without saying. The other one under that, probably Sin City.
Sin City,
I gave that one a 5 out of 5, and I've gone back and watched it again, and it stands up. I still don't understand why people don't love that movie more, because that is a fucking awesome film. And that was a big one for us as well. That was our second episode after Turtles. And you know, we were starting to hit our straps, and it was, you know, we're still in that honeymoon stage of, yay, we're doing a podcast, and oh fuck, we just got this awesome movie, and we both agreed on how fucking cool it was. I remember that being a lot of fun. Mad Max Fury Road, fuck.
Oh, that was one.
Fuck. That's a 5 out of 5 as well. Incredible, incredible, incredible film. And then one that you'll highly disagree on, and we even brought it up in the podcast of how people, you were saying that people were, this is the movie that you're supposed to say, it's one of the best films I've seen all year. And I went on to say that it was Southpaw. I really, really liked Southpaw.
Get fucked. It's fucking
so
shit.
So that was a big standout for me.
Fuck you.
The biggest low point. Sorry.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
You're just
so much.
Just swearing. Okay, I'll get to continue. The biggest low point was fucking Jupiter Ascending by far.
Oh boy.
Fuck, that was
that
a piece
wasn't
of
even.
Shit.
I don't even think that's the movie I hated the most. Actually, it's that. What did I hate more than that? I fucking
Fantastic
hate,
Four.
Fucking hated Fantastic Four. I fucking hated Avengers. I fucking hated 50 Shades of Grey. But like that's an easy movie to hate.
I think you probably hated 50 Shades of Grey the most. Like in terms of rage wise, I think you hated 50 Shades the most. But
Fantastic
we both
Force.
Fucking hated Jupiter Ascending.
And the,
fucking
and the
horrible.
Fucking Hobbit. I fucking hated the fucking third Hobbit. Shitty fucking film. God, I fucking hated the Hobbit. Fuck that.
How dare you even put it in the same fucking realm as Jupiter Ascending, though? You can't even start
Jupiter
to say
Ascending
that.
Jupiter Ascending was something special, but fuck The Hobbit. Fuck it all. God, I fucking hate it.
Well, shit, man. That's a year of movies we've just talked about. And
oh,
I'm still just blown away that it's been that long and we've seen that much material. And it's been, you know, really, it's been quite a good year if you think in terms of, like, fucking just stellar films like Interstellar, Mad Max, Gone Girl, Inside Out, Sin City, Jurassic World. Fuck, that's a pretty good lineup for you know.
It's a little cray cray.
Well, fuck, let's get into a new year.
All right,
let's start a whole
happy anniversary
chapter. Well, on this 1 year anniversary episode, we had a movie that we've both been kind of looking forward to. I've been fucking watching this one since I heard about it, and I've been super excited about it. This story about the world's most dangerous group, NWA. Fucking Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton! Crazy motherfucking name, Ice Cube! When I sing that, you have to put in the actual soundtrack bit now. Like, so I say, Straight Outta Compton! Crazy motherfucking name, Ice Cube! And then put, so I've said it twice now, so both times I've said it, like, put the actual soundbite over it.
We have Ice Cube voicing over you.
Yeah.
Yep, we can do that.
Can we do that?
That's cool. We can do that.
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. All right, I'm done.
I'm a big fan of NWA. I like a lot of the songs, and they, you know, listening to them in the movie, I was all like, fuck yeah, man, this is my jam. Because when I first got my license, this was my cruiser music. I'd just chuck on NWA Greatest Hits and fucking I'd be all like,
to a kid looking up to me, life ain't nothing but bitches and money.
So I'll put the music into that.
You're
going to
put
well.
The music there. Man, you're going to have a field
yeah,
day
absolutely.
With this.
And that's my fucking, you know, that's my outlook on life, really. You know, life ain't nothing but bitches and money. It's not really, but I'd like to say
I'm
it
sure,
is.
I'm sure
like
when Beck listens to this, she's really going to appreciate you telling her.
Oh, she'd appreciate it. Oh, she'd just laugh because she's like, no. You don't have any money.
My favorite story about
you don't have any bitches.
My favorite story about you and Beck is you fucking trying to serenade her on one of your first dates with karaoke. She shuts you down.
Yeah, singing her fucking Enrique Iglesias Hero, and she's like sticking her finger down her mouth like, I'm like, fuck, I thought I had this. I thought I understood the opposite sex to court them.
You did something right because, you know, you guys are together
or still
whatever,
around.
But
yeah.
That's
she's still putting
hilarious.
Up with me, so fucking good on her.
There you go.
Well, fuck, Connor, do you want to give us a quick breakdown of the story of NWA?
Sure. Well, it's called Straight Outta Compton, not NWA, you dumb. But Straight Outta Compton follows.
Well, it is the story of NWA, fucking.
Straight Outta Compton, anyway. Dave
Straight Outta Compton! Crazy motherfucking name, Ice Cube!
Fuck.
I wanted to do it too.
Anyway, David's a dumb. Straight Outta Compton follows the beginning, middle, and end of NWA. It follows their life. The form of the band, the infighting, and their downfall, pretty much. And that's kind of the whole film. The big thing is Easy dies of AIDS at the very end. That's kind of the big hitter. in the whole thing. It just follows them. I don't really know what else to say. It's a biopic. That's
well.
What...
Let's leave it at that, and let's just go through it.
Fuck the police. What did you think of we'll start off with the like what we normally do, and just talk about characters because it's always my favorite part as well. What did you think about the actors playing these big shot hip hop artists? Like, what did you think of Eazy-E?
Eazy-E was actually my favorite.
Yeah.
I thought he was the best of the bunch. The guy who played him, I'm not sure what his name was, but I'm a big fan of these guys, but I don't particularly know the backstory behind any of them or who any of them were. Like, I know that Ice Cube went on to be a big deal. I know Dr. Dre went on to fucking make earphones, and it's like, but like in terms of Eazy-E, I didn't realize that Eazy-E was the initial. Like, he was the initial rapper of the group.
Cruising
I
down
thought,
the street, my six fault. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that was dopey.
Yeah.
Fucking, I always assumed that it was, like, Dr. Dre and Ice Cube, MC Ren and DJ Yella, and then Eazy-E was kind of, like, came in after they'd established the group.
Oh, okay.
Because it's always been NWA and Eazy-E. And but now after seeing the film, we find out that Dr. Dre dropped that fucking the boys in the hood or whatever it was, for Ruthless Records.
Yeah.
And Eazy-E became a big deal, and so then they formed the band around him, and that's why they've kept his name there. And that was really interesting to me because it was like Eazy-E's always he's usually the guy who comes in at the end of the song, Fuck the Police. Straight out of Compton, Gangsta Gangsta. It always starts with Ice Cube, then we go to MC Ren, and then we go to Eazy-E. And that's why I always thought that, you know, he was like NWA featuring Eazy-E. So that was really cool, and I like that because he's pretty much the main member in the end. Like, I always thought it was Ice Cube.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ice Cube right now is definitely the most well-known. But, I mean, like, I honestly think all three of the main cast were really well played. I didn't really have any negative opinion on their acting. I thought they were all very believable. Ice Cube's son playing Ice Cube was a great fucking idea. Like, holy shit.
I was worried about that because I was like, I don't know anything about this dude. I don't know what he's going to do. Is it just merely because dad got him in or just because he looks like him? But he actually was like... I was looking at him and I was like, this is fucking Ice Cube. Like,
apparently, Ice Cube pushed him, like forced him to work for it. Like, he put him through hell for 2 years, like practicing for the role, making him get his mannerisms and shit, which I thought was excellent and makes perfect sense. But yeah, I believed all the whole main cast. MC Ren and DJ Yella really don't get that much screen time, so they're really not that relevant. They're kind of just...
Oh, yeah, but that's where I got a little bit disappointed because I would have liked to have seen, because MC Ren is kind of a big deal in terms of the songs. Like I said, I don't know anything about the background of the band or whatever, but I in the music, he is always there. Like, he's as big as Ice Cube, and I was kind of disappointed that he takes a back seat. Like, DJ Yella, what does that guy even do? Like, I don't know. Like, Dr. Dre's the DJ. Why do they need two DJs?
But, like, I mean, like, what frustrated me as well is, and I mean, this is, comes from the fact that Dr. Dre and Ice Cube produced the movie. And that's where that all comes from. Because I'm listening to, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, why? Like, it's frustrated me a lot, to be honest. Because I like the tunes as well. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, why is it that DJ Yella and MC Ren are getting such a small amount of screen time? And obviously it's because, well... Ice Cube and Dr. Dre produced the fucking film, and that's what it's going to be about.
It's good. They're glorifying their characters. Yeah,
they're obviously not going to talk shit about, their dead friend, Ice Cube and Dre is what it was.
Well, it's a funny. I did hear a funny thing about Dre because apparently Dr. Dre, a little while ago, assaulted a journalist, and was charged with assault. I think like he got like. In some heavy shit for it, and journalists have asked him why he didn't leave that in the film, and he's gone on to say that it's, you know, it's not really relative, it's not really imperative to the narrative.
Yeah.
And okay, whatever. But then you've got Ice Cube on the other hand, who still has the part where he comes in and trashes a fucking, you know, studio exec's fucking office.
Well, I mean, like,
so I was like,
I think the thing is, Dr. Dre, like, if you didn't know, he beat his wife. Like, Dr. Dre beat his wives more than once. And in the movie, then none of that is obviously in it. Especially when, you know, that part where the wife is leaving him.
Well, yeah, this is something I really want to bring up. Because Dr. Dre is fucking squeaky clean in this movie. Yeah,
he is.
He is the good guy. He, you know, he gets the band together.
So is Ice Cube. Ice Cube trashes his studio exec, but I'm still watching the film going, yeah, fuck you, dude. Like, you totally fucked this guy over. Like, they never do anything wrong, the two of them in the film, ever. Neither of them do anything wrong. They're both just trying to make a living. Ice Cube's he's at school. Dr. Dre just, nobody believes in his DJing. And like, and the other thing is where their characters is, you're right. Like, Ice Cube leaves NWA. And even though Dre stayed with the band and signed the contract in the movie, Ice Cube, like, Dr. Dre's like, nah, man, that's cool. Like, you understand me, right, Ice Cube? Like, even when Dr. Dre visibly fucks up in the film, his character justifies himself immediately. Like, God forbid that he actually does something wrong. You're totally right.
Mm. And it's really shit because you just hit the nail on the head as well, because they do sort of reference that he fucks up or does something stupid. Like, what happened to his fucking baby girl?
Pretty much.
Like, why that's even it. Bring that up if that's not going to be a thing? Like, we see the, you know, he's recording their first studio album, I think. And
the girl, the
wife
gone.
Or girlfriend rocks up and is just like, oh, yeah, sorry, I'm out of here. And he's like, it's all right, baby girl. He's got a little kid in there. And then that never comes up again. Yeah. And he goes on to fuck all these other chicks and fucking ends up with some random hooker. Not a hooker, but like a random chick at the end. And it's just like, what?
Yeah, they're all like
and
all...
it's always like, he's been getting fucked over. But yeah. It's like, no, you're a piece of shit,
by
man.
By the end of it, they're all like family men. And like lovable and these great guys, and I'm just like, fuck off, like, really. And that movie,
which they like, they very well could have become, but like, one thing I really wanted to see, and I, like I said, I don't know the full backstory and the real story behind what these guys are, but from the music that they're writing, the lyrics that Ice Cube's dropping down about, you know, just being full gangster and killing people here left and right, being a fucking burglar, fucking whatever, just a criminal, basically. They talk about being criminals and fuck the police. There's never, they're not really that bad.
No, they're not.
So to me, that kind of makes them posers.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you want to talk this shit. You talk about coming from the street and fucking that you've had this hard life. But the only person who really had it, like, really rough, like, yeah, sure, fucking Dr. Dre's living in his auntie's basement or something like that. Ice Cube, you know, is in dangerous parts of the city. Eazy-E's running dope.
Flinging
but
dope.
They're not really... That like Eazy-E's probably the closest.
Yeah.
But even the stuff that they do, like, they don't seem like these criminals that they're trying to push themselves as. And like, in my head, they were, you know, in real life. And like, I hope they were, because I don't want my fucking vision of them to sort of be destroyed, because I really like their music and fucking all that sort of shit. But like, it's, to me, the way they're portrayed in the movie and then become these, you know, basically mainstream artists that they're trying to be against. Like, they're like, we speak our reality. It's like, that's not your fucking reality.
Yeah.
That's like,
it's not at all what you're
talking about
with.
Shit that you might have seen. Like, you grew up in Compton, but fucking where are you in all this?
Yeah. Like why aren't we, aren't we seeing this on camera, pretty much? Like, why aren't you showing people? Like, yeah.
Yeah. And to me, that comes back to it. Probably what I think your issue is here is with Ice Cube and Dr. Dre producing this shit, they don't want to show that they were kind of that sort of person, maybe. And that's disappointing to me. Like, if you're going to make a movie about the world's most dangerous group, show that you're dangerous people.
Yeah, it's just got this, I don't know, this movie treats itself as if these guys go through some really heavy shit the whole way through it, you know? Like, this movie treats these characters as if they're going through, like, fucking hell the whole way. But you watch the film, it's kind of just uphill the whole way. Like, everything just kind of comes up Milhouse for every character in this except for Eazy-E. Pretty much. No one really deals with any big issues. None of them see shit. None of them are doing anything bad. They talk about the Rodney King. Is it Rodney King? The Rodney King riots, whatever. Is that who it was?
I'm not sure when the guy got beaten.
Yeah, the African-American bloke gets the shit kicked out of him and the cops don't get charged. And, you know, they talk about that and kind of bring that up. And that's kind of like a big deal, but I'm like, yeah, cool.
Not.
Race wars, not at the whatever. Same time. But it's got no relevance to any of the personal shit which this movie tries to jam down your throat. And it doesn't come across. Yeah. And you've got like these two, like it's about these musicians, and biopics are all about like, holy shit, like you guys had no fucking idea how tough it was for these musicians or how tough it was for this person. And in this, it's not really that tough. Ice Cube kind of gets upset because a music manager kind of fucks him over, which isn't a big surprise. That happens in the business. And so Ice Cube goes, that's okay. I'll be successful for the rest of my life instead. And then goes and just kind of like lives his life and things are fine for him. And they try really hard to like push that he's struggling the whole way through the film. But I'm like, this motherfucker's just making hit after hit. There's nothing wrong with him. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's doing very well.
Yeah.
I know you've hit every issue that I want to talk about in that one fucking paragraph just then, because the big, like, well, let's talk about the guy getting beat. Like that's they push that as that's supposed to be this moment. Well, actually, no, let's go back to the inner turmoil in the group, because they say it. They say that everybody's like upset with each other, but I never actually really feel it.
They never show any of it.
Even when they talk to each other, they all seem real good with each other. Like, you know, like, even when Ice Cube leaves, it's kind of like, oh, cool, well, he's left.
They're like, yeah, see you, Cube.
We'll talk a bit of shit about him on the record like rappers do.
Yeah.
And like, we'll move on from there. And when they all sort of come back together at the end, it's sort of made out that beating is like the catalyst for it. It's like the thing that's pushing them. It's like, you know, fuck this, we gotta band together against these piece of shit cops that think they can just pick on our people, you know. And fucking then, but it's not really,
yeah,
which is, yeah, it's like it's there but it's not there. And then
they say it's
when
there.
They do come back together,
you
like, you know,
happening.
Eazy-E, sorry,
they pretty much tell you what's happening. They don't show you, it's just them telling you, hey, be sad.
Yeah, and then fucking, you know, Eazy-E comes back and sees Ice Cube at the end, and they kind of have like a little look at each other. It's not like what I would expect in a rap rivalry where people get shot all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would have expected it to be a lot fucking darker than what happens between
It's just
all
a bit of
people.
Banter, isn't it? Like, the whole way through, it's just a bit of banter. You know?
Are we all good? We all good?
Yeah.
And then fucking, you know, Dre's just like, oh man, I'm just here to make music. I'm like, I'm not fucking,
Dre's
I'm sure.
Dre's like, look man, I'm the Messiah pretty much the whole way through it.
Yeah.
Look man.
Where I'm almost certain that he would have been a piece of shit, like, amongst all this. Like, there would have been so much fucking, you know, arguments and inner turmoil going on that we just don't they talk about and reference, but we never actually see. And and that's pretty shitty, because that's kind of what the whole movie is about.
it's so strange.
I also had a problem with how fast, like, you know, it is a long movie, it's nearly 2.5 hours, but things seem to move really quickly. Like, it's you know, for something that's pretty much an origin story of this band. And, you know, Eazy-E wasn't even a rapper when he steps into the fucking booth, but within 40 seconds, he's the best rapper on the street. you know, he's the best rapper in America.
Cruising down the street in my 6'4".
Hey, that was dopey. I was really like, where's, I want, give me at least a fucking montage of them, of him, you know, slight getting better and better and better until they find, like, you don't, he doesn't just walk into the booth and become a fucking rap god. Like, it may have happened that way, but, like, to me, that's not satisfying to me. And all of a sudden, they've got a fucking hit album.
Yeah.
Like, that just came out of nowhere.
There's no struggle for them to get success. Oh, we're good at rapping.
And
hit.
Like, what's gone into this album? Like, they're talking reality, they're talking fucking all this shit, but we never see that get funneled. Like, I needed a bigger first act where these guys, we see how shit their life is.
Well, honestly, the only person who had any sort of a shitty life, in according to this film, the only person that ever had any real struggle was Eazy-E. He's the only one within this that actually at any point really struggles to get anywhere. Really.
And because he kind of spikes early and then falls by the wayside because, you know, he does the particular, you know, what every, like, I'm sure celebrity goes through. Like, they have, like, this big
the
rush
big
of fame and then all of a sudden everything falls apart and, like, he thinks he can do it by himself, like Ice Cube can, but fucking realizes that they need the group together to be able to do it. And I liked Eazy-E's journey, to be honest. He was like, that's why I liked him the most.
Yeah, exactly. Because he had
substance.
He had a full story. He had a rise and a fall. He had a journey. And no other character in this film really had a journey. Because that's what happens when your two other main fucking characters produce your fucking movie. Like,
well, what? Yeah.
It's just fucking.
Well, what about
Ice Cube, mate? Oh, guys, remember Ice Cube did all the lyrics for this one. Guys, remember Ice Cube is the lyricist. Guys, oi! Did you know Ice Cube wrote the raps? Hey! Do you fucking know? Do you understand what's... You fuck! He's the good. Eazy-E's a dick. Man. Hey! Like, that's the whole fucking... That's the whole time. That's what happens. Same with Dre.
Yeah, cause, and they kind of demonize MC Ren later when, you know, when Ice Cube leaves, like, as if he's not as good a writer.
Yeah.
Whereas some of MC Ren's songs are really cool. Like, I really liked his stuff. I've always really liked MC Ren's, like, I don't know if Ice Cube wrote MC Ren's bits in, like, Fuck the Police and Straight Outta Compton and all that, but, like, I really like his bits. He's fucking badass.
And fucking, so it, did he do Express Yourself? Or is that Dre?
No, that was Dre.
Yeah.
That was Dre, because they're like, Dre, you doing all this dope producing?
Yep.
You ain't showed him what time it is. Well, what you want me to do?
Express yourself.
I'm expressing with my full capability. Yeah. Anyway,
we're both clearly very big fans of the movie, of the songs.
Well, what about where Ice Cube's talking, you know, he has a big problem with not getting money and not signing these contracts and all that sort of thing. Like, how have they not been getting money? How are they on tour and not signing contracts? And why the fuck is Eazy-E eating lobster? Like, what the hell? Paul Giamatti and fucking Eazy-E eating lobster and fucking Ice Cube rocks up with a burger. He's like, are you enjoying your lobster?
Yeah, it's so fucking, like, weird.
What? I felt like that all came out of fucking left field because, like, for one, like, they tell us that Paul Giamatti is fucking them over as a manager, but I never really got
You never
that.
See it. You never see it. You never see him do anything but support them the whole way through.
If anything, I thought he was a fucking really good guy.
Me too. I really liked him. I liked him a lot.
And to me, maybe it was just, like, the wrong casting because, like, he's a really likable guy just in general. But, like, he's the one who stands up for them when the cops rock up.
That's it.
And fucking, you know... just assault them basically at the front of their studio for no good reason. He's the one, he's like, you can't do this and all that. And I'm like, I like this guy. He's standing up for these dudes and the message that they're trying to get out there. And then we're supposed to hate him?
Pretty much.
Like, and they, like, there's honestly no point where I don't like him. Like, even at the end when Eazy-E comes around as well and they sort of figure out that somehow he's fucking them over. That's the time that I was expecting, like, a shoe to drop and we'd be like, oh, man, he's been playing them the whole time. But, no. Fucking all people, Paul Giamatti says, this is business, but all I've done is look out for you. and we don't really see what it is that's so bad that he's doing.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, this movie suffers from like tell, don't, not show, and it kind of does it the whole way through where it just tells you, oi, this is happening, like feel bad. It keeps doing it over and over. But I think that's kind of my big problem with it, actually, is that in coming to think of it, it does it the whole way through.
Not for sure.
And
well, it's ultimately it sort of touches on bad things, and for a movie that's supposed to be about struggling,
it's meant
artists,
to be a biopic. That's what it is.
A biopic, but like a movie that's about these guys that come from the street,
yeah,
and they've come from hard times and fucking all that sort of stuff. The fucking, you know, any sort of problem that comes up in the film is not given enough light.
It's
it doesn't
quickly,
feel like a problem.
Yeah. And what the fuck is with Dr. like them showing Dre producing Snoop Dogg and Tupac? If anyone, I understand Tupac, like a whole little homage to probably the best hip hop artist like to have ever lived, according to a lot of people. But why the fuck do we need? Why the fuck do we give a shit that he's producing Snoop Dogg? Like, why is that?
Oh well, I think Snoop Dogg did come in and record some stuff with N.W.A. later on after Eazy-E died.
Yeah, but they never showed that. They never showed that.
No, they don't. They don't. And like to me, I think like for me, it was like, oh fuck, that's Snoop Dogg, and that guy was like really good at doing Snoop Dogg. He was fucking awesome,
he was awesome,
by the way. But like it, yeah, it to me, it was just like a nice little nod. As an N.W.A. fan, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. And he goes on to do that, and then obviously Dre and Tupac go on to do stuff as well.
That's one of the things Sorry, keep going.
Oh, but no, you're right. It has nothing to do with this story that they're giving us.
And exactly, because I watch this film and I see Tupac and I see Snoop Dogg and I'm like, fuck yeah. And I hear Snoop Dogg coming up with that song and I'm just like, fuck yeah. I hear them writing these raps and performing and I'm like, fuck, I could watch an hour of this. And I tell every customer that comes into my work, if you like N.W.A., you will love this movie or you will like this movie, because if you're a fan of the tunes, this movie's for you. It's N.W.A.
All the way.
It's this movie is a promo for Ice Cube and Dr. Dre, and in turn, a promo for N.W.A. That's what this film is. You can't not see that. That everything in this film is to like, hey, like, look how fucking great we are. That's the whole time. That's what happens the whole time. The only reason Eazy-E is shown in a bad light is because he's fucking dead. Like, he would have had no opinion on the matter. Like, that's. There's no rise and fall for any other character, and it's because this whole time all they're doing is just pushing that, hey, look how great we are. And they're fucking right, they're fucking great, they make great music, they all do, they're fucking excellent at what they do, god damn. Yeah,
fucking
and so
and like, you know, listen, we're fucking ragging on this, and you're saying exactly what you just said. If you're an NWA fan, you will really enjoy this. I'm an NWA fan, I did really enjoy this film, even though I'm giving it a lot of shit. But before I go on and say any more positive stuff, I do want to talk about one more, little gripe that I had. And it just felt awkward to me. It just like, I don't know, like the whole fuck the police thing and their big fucking struggle with the police. Some of it, I was just like, it's almost there, but I don't 100% hate the police in this movie. And hear me out, because there's sometimes when, you know, the police have rocked up, like for instance when Dr. Dre gets fucking arrested, he just sucker punched a person.
Yeah,
so the police have rocked up to fucking arrest somebody who, you know, who did, like, they were obviously there to fucking just be pests, like,
yeah,
like they're made out to be. And I know that happens, and it's fucking bullshit, and I'm not condoning police brutality police just being corrupt pieces of shit, because that's the complete opposite of what they should be. But when these police rock up and they do this thing, these guys fucking try to talk it tough back to them, and I feel just like, are you fucking stupid? Like, you know, that point where they're all on the ground and at the front of the studio and they finally let them up, and just about every single one of them on the way out is like, you fucking pig, you fuck the police, fucking all that. Just acting tough. Like, just don't do that. You fucking idiot. This is why you're provoking them, and they're going to make it worse for you because they can. Yeah. And that just makes me angry because
it's like an attitude, man. It's NWA.
I don't know. That just felt really weird to me. And then, you know, the whole bit where they go to Detroit and the Detroit police officers sit them down and say, look, you cannot play the song F the Police.
Yeah.
And then as all the police are walking away, they're all like, fuck the police.
Yeah.
I was like, that sounds like my dad swearing.
Hey, don't do that.
It's just awkward.
You're a fucking
There's
loser.
No cool way to say fuck the police unless it's in a song. You know?
Yeah, I kind of get you. I felt it. I liked it. I didn't really have an issue with it at all. I didn't really see a problem with their sort of anti-establishment sort of, you know, that whole spiel. That was kind of a highlight for me for the film. But yeah,
really? So you felt it was like cool the way they were saying fuck the police?
No, I don't think it was cool. I just thought it was beneficial to the story. Like I understood, I could see their characters doing that. Like I was like, yeah, of course they do that. They're NWA. They've got attitude. That's what they fucking do. They're about.
Yeah, I know
speech.
That. I know that. But like the way that they do it in this film, like the way that they say these lines is just like name dropping to me. Like, even when,
yeah,
you know,
it does feel like stupidly poetic at points, and I'm like, fuck off, yeah. You spoke like that, mate. Like, as if you're like, it's just a reflection of our reality. Like, as if you fucking said that, you know? Like,
well, see, that was one of the lines that I did like. That was one of the ones that it's just when they're like quoting themselves or saying what the actual name of, you know, what NWA stands for. And the way that when Paul Giamatti asks, you know, Eazy-E what that is, it was just like, it, you know, the camera fucking sort of zooms in a little bit. Everything goes a bit quiet as he drops the line. Or when they say, you know, fuck the police, it's like, oh, it just, it felt not a reflection of their reality. It felt like, you know, like I said, somebody who doesn't swear trying to swear.
Yeah, I get you. I feel you. I don't agree. I enjoyed it. I didn't. That was not something I really even paid attention to. But yeah.
No, I felt it. I felt awkward every time it happened. but I like the whole police thing. I think they needed to really villainize them a lot more.
Yeah.
Like I said, the cop scenes. Yeah, they were being pieces of shit. But then these guys were also giving attitude back. So it was like provoking them, and like it just, especially there was just no one that we really like. Wait, who's actually the villain in this movie? There's like no real villain. It's supposed to be Paul Giamatti, I think.
Yeah, it's meant to be Jerry.
And it's like, yeah, so and that just goes back to, you know, all the problems that are supposed to be in this aren't really problems. So.
Pretty much.
But when they're fucking singing and doing, like, you know, when Ice Cube first gets up and does his rap. That gangster rap with Dr. Dre at that club that he works at. Fuck, that's cool. Fucking hell, that's cool. Like, Eazy-E getting on the mic, doing it, you know, cruising down the street in my 6'4". Like, fucking cool. Like, every time they're in the studio doing their thing, it's kind of fun to see them, like, sitting around, just fucking around, thinking of lyrics, like how it would go down when you're writing. Like, they really captured that fun and that excitement of them putting something really important together. Another thing I really liked was when there was all those people burning and stomping the NWA albums. Yeah. And Eazy-E is like, well, man, little fuck, they can do whatever they want with them. They bought the album.
That's it. That's it. I fucking love that moment. That was so great.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have more of an emphasis on the story, is that the backlash they got from being so controversial, but it just wasn't. It wasn't there. And that was disappointing, but yeah, like, bottom line is I fucking love their music, and it was fucking cool. Like, I was like, this is cool as fuck. Like, this guy's singing and shit. Just
cool,
like,
movie,
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Every time they start singing, I was like, oh, when are they going to sing Fuck the Police? When are they going to sing Straight Outta Compton? Like, when am I going to hear this?
Yeah.
Like, Snoop Dogg comes on, I'm like, fuck yeah, man. Like, that's what I want to hear. I mean, that is kind of what saves this film a little bit, is the acting was decent. And on top of that, like, it was cool as fuck. It was cool.
Super cool. Everything about it is fucking cool. I really liked how well they sort of portrayed like that 80s, early 90s era, like that period. Like, everything
just fucking looked really nice, and it was shot really nice. It had this really, it, like, when it was in the 80s, it kind of had like this brownish sort of look about it, which for some reason resonates with 80s for me.
Yeah.
But, like, really nailed all that sort of stuff. I thought, again, like, I thought most of the performances were fucking fantastic, even down to, like, even, like, little roles, like Dr. Dre's mum, like, I thought was really strong.
Yeah, she was cool. She was really good. Yeah. Pretty sure he beat her as well.
Oh, fucking, well, you'd hope not, but let's, yeah, we don't know that dark side, because they don't show that dark side of Dr. Dre.
It was definitely, yeah, this film was fucking cool. That's all I'm going to say. You pretty much summed it up for me. This film was cool as fuck.
Yeah, and you know, when they do the emotional stuff, they do it well. Like, when fucking Eazy-E finds out that he has AIDS.
Oh, it's great. It's awesome.
Them feels, man. Fuck, that was incredible. Like, that guy, I want to know, I got to find out what that guy's name was and see what else he's in, because he's just fantastic. That, like, that whole bit. And all the guys coming in and, like, you know, seeing him for the last time, and they were just about to get back together and do it. Like, that was really nicely done. Like,
pretty much, yeah.
It's just too bad that the low points weren't as low as they could have been. Well, that was a pretty low point for, like, obviously Eazy-E, but and they did that well. But besides that, yeah. But yeah, well, I don't know. I'm pretty much,
I'm done.
That's pretty much all I have to say. But I kind of feel bad. I've really, really ragged on it. But at the end of the day, I've really enjoyed this. So.
And that's the bottom line, is that we enjoyed it for a very simple reason. We like NWA. Well, for me anyway, I like NWA. I think they're cool as fuck, and I'm watching a film about NWA, and that's cool as fuck. I enjoyed this film. I had a good time watching it. You know, as a critic, it's not that good. Like, as a critic, if I came in this not enjoying NWA, I would fucking hate this film. I know I would. I would straight up hate this film if I went in, like, with no knowledge of the band. I'd be like, what the fuck is this? Like, why the fuck am I just watching a bunch of people make music? This is so fucking boring. And it would be. But I like Ice Cube. I like Dr. Dre. As artists, I fucking like the music. And so I come in and I'm like, this is awesome. Like, yeah, like, show me more. Where's, no, Tupac, come back. Like, Snoop Dogg, yeah. Like, I wanted to see them in the recording studio doing what they were doing. And I got to see that. That was good. And I had a really good time watching that happen. And so I'm kind of put in a thing here where I'm literally just kind of going to go off enjoyment, because if I'm going to go off, like, my critic side, I'm going to have to give it a low score, but I would, if anyone likes NWA, I'd want them to watch the film, so I'm going to give it a 3. It's a 3 out of 5 for me.
Well, to be honest, like, because I you know, I've spouted how much of a fan of NWA I was, and I, when I was watching this, I was like, Connor's going to hate this.
Oh, really?
I thought that, because I didn't realize that you actually liked them. I wasn't aware that you were a fan. But I exactly what you just said with, you know, being a fan, I can appreciate it. And I'm basically bouncing off it because of that. And it has fucking many a flaw. We've brought that up. And it's kind of like that, you know, it's you with Star Wars and me with Jurassic Park. There's no way that I could hate this film. There's no way I could, like, unless they did something really, really bad, which, you know, they've glossed over everything that I really hoped would be in this film. And that's probably the lowest I think it could go. And I still really, really enjoy it. So it's like, shit. And the same sort of thing, the critic mind of mine is like, yeah, you know, like, because it's still, even critically, it's kind of still a solid film. It just doesn't have the right ups and downs that it needed. And that makes me think and hope that there's a director's cut of this, because I feel like they've skipped out a lot of stuff. I don't think it'll fix the problems that are there, but, like, you know, all that first act stuff that I wanted a little more of, I think there surely had to be more written for that. And they've fuck, this is running 5 hours long. We need to cut this shit down. You know,
I doubt it, to be honest. I just think they...
You reckon? Because I don't know. Because the thing is that they sort of mention and talk about a lot of things, and it feels like there's just a piece missing in between each scene that would just
solidify a lot of the, at least the origin of the band. Like later on, I can't really defend much of that, but it's, you know, at least like, you know, Eazy-E learning to fucking rap and all that. Like, I would hope that there was a little more to that. And I hope there are some sort of deleted scenes, because I'll fucking buy this movie when it comes out, and I'd love to see a director's cut. Like, I'd watch a 3-hour version of this film if it gave me a little more to all of these characters. But yeah, the bottom line is, it's a fucking, you know, it's just a lot of fun getting in and listening to these guys get their rap on. And these guys portray what I know of these real life, you know, celebrities fucking well, especially Eazy-E and Ice Cube. So I, you know, and again, I like the enjoyment factor that I came out of this, I probably want to even go higher, but when I am sitting here and talking about it and bringing it down, it's still a favorable review at 3.5.
Yeah, that's not bad. Thanks so much, guys. Holy shit. 1 year officially. This is it. 1 year of podcasts as of this moment. That's insane.
That's it. We've
that's
done
fucking
it.
Crazy. What are we doing with our time?
My God. Podcasts, apparently.
Podcasts every week.
Yeah, no, but yeah, what Connor said, like, thank you very much for everybody who's been here from day one and everybody who's come and even just listened to one episode. If this is your first episode, welcome. We're about to start a whole new year and fuck, we got some big stuff coming up. Well, next week's going to be fun. We've got Pixels.
God fucking damn it.
I don't know how
this movie's going to be bad. Like, I don't know how, but I've heard only negative things.
So have I. I was just on a film shoot and an actor had seen it in the States or something, and I overheard him just going off about, like, somebody at least halfway through shooting this movie must have realized that they were making a piece of shit. Why didn't they just stop? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, fucking Pixels. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, but surely it can't be that bad. It's got cool video games in it. It's got some great actors. Like, that's, I think a lot of people are gonna drop and hate fucking Adam Sandler. Like, a lot of people already hate or will already hate this film because of Adam Sandler. But like, I've gone out and said that I still don't mind Adam Sandler, so I'm not really, that's not really my worry. Well, actually, no, I lie. I think it probably would have been better without him, but that's not like a detrimental thing for me.
Yeah, I'm pretty hyped. I reckon it'll, I don't know, I'm pretty hyped to watch it because I want to know. Like, I just, I need to know why this movie sucked. I just need to know. I need someone to show me why. And so I'm keen to see it for that reason and that reason alone.
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty much.
So we got that next week. And then the week after that, we've got Everest, which looks kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And after that, there's a few movies coming out that week. We've got Pan, we've got Sicario, and and The Visit, which we've spoke about The Visit, so we might have to talk about which one we'll do that week. And then after that, The Martian. So, fuck, we've got some big movies coming up. We've got a good lineup. I'm quite excited, actually.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped.
Pretty pumped much to start a new fucking year. Fish and Connor
season 2. Fish and Connor season 2 is what we should call it, I think.
That'd be cool. Season 2. All right. Welcome to episode 1 of season 2. Now, I'm not going to change the episode's numbers.
No. Fuck that. I'm just going to call it season 2 because it sounds way cooler.
It sounds legit. 50, yeah.
52 episodes per season. That's how we're going to do it now, folks. We're about to start season 2. Thanks so much for enjoying season 1.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, thank you, and until next time.
Play the music, bitch! Fuck the police, coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad, cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit, cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe-to-toe in the middle of a sale. Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur Movie. Fish and Connoisseur Movie does not own any rights to the film Straight Outta Compton, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The tracks Straight Outta Compton, Fuck the Police, and Gangsta Gangsta are performed by NWA.
out for the white cop. Ice Cube will swarm.